Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
The head coach, Ron Rivera, is on the show with me every Friday, and he is presented by FH for Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Get comfort now, pay later, with 60 months, same as cash, on a brand new HVAC system. Learn more at FHFur.com. That's FHFur, absolutely the best. Ron, another win, this one on Monday night against Seattle. You're starting to stack them up. How much confidence do you and your team have right now?
Pretty good confidence. You know, I feel pretty strong about what we've done and pretty much how the way the players have handled it. It's kind of what we were hoping for to start the season, and we've kind of worked our way into this situation now.
What makes you historically and the teams that you've coached get better as the season goes on and end up playing your best ball at the end of the year? Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think some of the things that we do, the way we practice, the way we prepare, the way we look at things, I think a lot of those things are really just, you know, it's kind of hard to really pinpoint it, but I think a lot of it is that everything seems to come together at the right time.
In a league, Ron, that's so close, and by the way, so unpredictable, I mean, this year, maybe as much as any other, the number of double-digit favorites that are losing outright, the upsets week in and week out, is a winning streak like the one you're on and the confidence that comes with it, is it a real thing that carries over in, like, the form of momentum from one week to the next, or is it that every week is sort of like its own entity altogether and it's truly unique?
Well, I think each week is its own entity, but I do think, you know, momentum, you know, I like to refer to it as confidence. You know, you're winning games, you're playing confident, you're playing fast, you're playing fearless. I think, you know, that's all comes together. And again, you can't start building quote-unquote momentum until you win the first one. And then once you win the first one, you win the second one. Now it's easy to build on it. So, you know, it's not easy to win the game, but it's easy to build on it. And that's probably the thing that we've been able to do is build on it.
You've been in the league forever. I mean, it's been, you know, most of your adult life, your entire adult life. Does it ever shock you or surprise you how much the league sort of changes on a dime? You know, for you guys, I mean, it was less than a month ago. You guys were 2-6, and it seemed like it was over, and now you're in the postseason. You know, you get games in which, you know, Buffalo loses to Jacksonville, you know, and can only score 6 points. What are your observations of the league and how quickly it changes? Give me a minute on that.
Well, I think the biggest thing is there's so many factors into things now, and you know, and plus we're also in a strange time right now with COVID still lurking around, and you know, it really comes down to the players that are available more so than anything else. Week in and week out. I mean, we're at the time of the year that if the healthiest teams are the ones that are going to start winning. And that's what you want to be. You want to be healthy at the right time. I think part of it, too, is as the season wears on, the teams that are still growing and developing and doing it the right way are the ones that will play better down the stretch as well. And so far, we've been fortunate enough that, you know, a lot of things that we've done, we've been able to repeat. A lot of things we've been able to done, we've gotten better at, and that's helped us. And we've got to continue to grow, and we've got to continue to focus in on us as a football team getting better week in and week out.
talking to the head coach, Ron Rivera. I want to go back to Monday night for a minute. So the three short yardage stops where you guys got stopped on a 3rd-and-2, 3rd-and-1, and 3rd-and-1, and then, you know, you had the 4th-and-1 holding penalty. On the first two, there was a 3rd-and-2, and then the next one was a 3rd-and-1. Were those read option plays for Taylor to potentially keep the ball and run? Because that DN crashed down hard.
Yeah, I mean, again, a lot of the things that we do have options to them. And, you know, and there's sometimes it's what he sees, and other times it's what he thinks, well, we can get out of it.
What did you guys think of those two plays? Should he have pulled it and run?
Well, I'm not going to second guess him. He made his decision, and we'll live with it.
On the third one where you had Patterson in the game, I was just curious, why was Patterson in the game at that moment on that 3rd-and-1?
Unfortunately, AG needed a break.
He needed a break. Was there an opportunity on that one to press on that zone a little bit outside and to keep it outside? Did he cut it up too quickly?
He could have. And again, you know, you got to ask the kid, what did he see? Why did he do what he did?
All right. Let's get to a different subject. What did you think of Curtis Samuel's snaps the other night? And will he be on a pitch count on Sunday in Vegas?
Well, I thought Curtis coming in, it was kind of cool to watch. You know, he did a couple things that were really nice. Kevin, I think one of the things that people forget, too, is how good of a blocker he was. Because if you get a chance to watch JD's running touchdown, he makes a nice field block on the edge. But it was good to see him out there. Yeah, we're probably going to have him on a pitch count. Obviously, we're going to increase that. Somebody had asked me about Logan, and we won't have to worry about Logan. Logan was really in good shape, did a nice job. And we expect him to be ready to go, if not play the whole game, play most of it.
That's awesome on him. And I was going to ask you about him because a couple of weeks ago I said, you know, of the players that have been out, who did you think you would miss the most? And you said it was probably Logan, you know, with that big target for Taylor. What did he show you on Sunday night, and how, you know, is he nearing to the point where he was before he got hurt?
Yes, he had a good week so far, and really anticipate him, you know, taking it up another notch on Sunday. You know, it was really evident that he, you know, was missed just because some of the things that happened for us in the red zone. I'm not a big fan of the no touchdown call from this past weekend. Anytime it takes that long to make a decision, it's kind of obvious that it wasn't clear and obvious, but, you know, that's another point.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's kind of like so commonsensical that when they spend that much time looking at it, well, then it's not obvious. And so the call on the field should stand. I don't know why that is so hard. And it appeared as if he had like his wrist or part of his hand underneath the ball the whole time.
Thank you. That's exactly what I thought.
J.D. McKissic, what a weapon, you know, he was last year. The quicks, especially in some of the stuff in the red zone where you can just drop it off to him in space. Will he be available Sunday, do you think?
We'll have a better sense probably after tomorrow's practice, more so than anything else. You know, he's in the protocol, unfortunately, and he's got to go through it step by step, and you know, we'll see. I mean, if not, that will be a big loss.
Tell us about your new kicker, Brian Johnson.
Well, he's a right-footed kicker, so, again, that'll cause problems if Tress has got to kick one because he's a left-footed kicker.
Okay.
But I like the kid. He was very accurate as far as his field goal attempts. He did have a couple of misses. Now, one of them wasn't his fault. It was a bad snap. The other one, he hooked. But he's got a good leg. He's got good distance. He doesn't drive it as far in the kickoffs as Joey does. So, you know, we're going to have to cover him up to be really good on our coverage. But, you know, I'm pretty excited. I think he'll be a good solid replacement until we can get Joey healthy. And if not, we'll just stick with Brian.
So something I talked about on the show yesterday, I wanted your answer to. Other players have said about you in your past that you're a very good motivator and a tremendous leader, somebody that, you know, in the face of adversity, when you get up and you speak, they believe you. What makes you good at that?
Well, I try to be honest about things, and I try not to hold back things. You know, I try to put it out there. You know, it's interesting, Kevin, because a lot of people say, "Oh, wow, you know, you're really bringing the energy." well, you know, I'm starting to feel better and better. You know, people don't realize or understand, you know, I get it that people want to see me, you know, be more energetic on the sideline. And that's something that I learned that I need to be. But, you know, having gone through what I went through last year, it's very hard. So now I'm starting to feel, you know, feel it. I don't know if people have noticed, but I've been more active on the sideline. And then I've been very animated pre and post game with the players. I really think that's important. And I think I have to be passionate for our guys to get just how important things are, which is good, which is fine. I'd be more than happy. Whatever I have to do to help these young men out, I'm going to do. I really feel like, Kevin, I owe it to them. And I really appreciate the way they have reacted to it, too.
Do you have to have somebody in the locker room that ends up being your voice when you're not there? Somebody who, like Kuechly, and I'm imagining yep. that he was one of those guys. Is it important for a head coach to have a player or players essentially carry the word, you know, carry your sentiment in that locker room when you're not there?
It is. And because if they see something that's not right, they can make it right. You know, they can point it out. And we're fortunate. We have a couple of those guys. We have. You know, when I was in Carolina, you know, it was Luke. It was Thomas Davis, and it was Greg Olson and Ryan Khalil, and it was Cam, and it was Charles Johnson. I mean, those were our leaders. Those were our veteran guys. And as our guys are starting to find their footing, you know, you start to see it. You start to see it from Logan, and you see it from Terry and Jonathan and you know, and Landon and Scherf, I mean, and Leno. I mean, these guys are starting to take the mantle, and they're starting to understand that, you know, who they are, what they are, allows them to be vocal. And that's great. I mean, now you start seeing the leadership coming to the forefront. That's going to only benefit us as a football team.
You know, you're going to remember this man very much so as a coach. Here in Washington, we had him for 1 year, Marty Schottenheimer, back in 2001. And they started off that season 0-5 in 2001. They finished 8-3. They were 8-8 at the end of the season. And one of the things, and I remember him specifically saying, is I need people that get me and are going to understand what I'm trying to impart here. And there were some veterans like Daryl Green and Bruce Smith that had been around forever that weren't necessarily all on board for, you know, Sergeant Marty, right? But he found some of those young guys. And I, you know, you came in and I remember you talking about, you know, people and the 3 to 5 year plan, et cetera. And yep. You just mentioned some names that are carrying that message in the locker room. How close are you to having a roster of players that totally are in sync with what you and your staff want?
Oh, I think we're getting closer. I really do. I mean, you know, another good off season, another good draft class, and you can feel like you've kind of made your mark. You know, the thing that you know, and again, honestly, there was a good group of young men that when we first got here as well, that were here when I first got here. I mean, the Terry McLaurins of the world and, you know, and guys like that. I mean, you know, those are the kind of young men you want. And this roster had a few. And then we added to them, and then we added to them again. And if we can do it one more time, I think we'll have a good group of guys that could hopefully take us to where we really want to be. And that's to ascend to where we're in the upper echelon of the league. It's an arduous process. You know, it happens in 3, 4, 5 years. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, people go, oh, well, you know, great example, Green Bay. They came into Green Bay and did that his first year. Well, yeah. Well, hell, they had they had their franchise quarterback. I mean, when you find that, when you have that first piece to the puzzle, Kevin, that's gold. I mean, it really is. And look at what's happening in Cincinnati. They had the first pick and they had that guy. I had that in Carolina with Cam. We had that guy and we had a great 5 year run from 2013 to 2017. And then, unfortunately, the injuries caught up to us at the end. But that's what you look for. That's why you do it the way you try to do it, by finding that guy. Whoever that guy is, that's a great stepping stone. You know, and I tell you guys this, I don't know if that guy's on our roster right now. I don't know if that guy's in free agency. I don't know if that guy's in the draft. But we have a guy right now that's competing his butt off, and we'll see. And we'll see what that means as we get into the offseason.
See, I didn't even have to ask you about Taylor Heinicke today. You just brought him up on your own. But, you know, it's funny, as you were saying that, you had the number 2 pick in your very first year. You had the number one pick in 2010 when you got to Carolina, and you just talked about Cincinnati had the number one pick, you know, so they got in, that staff got in, and they were able to take that guy number one overall.
Yeah.
Obviously, a stud like Chase Young and the career he had at Ohio State was awfully tempting, but I haven't asked you this all year long. Going back to that draft, how close were you to thinking, we got the number two pick, not the number one pick, but this is an opportunity we may never have again to have to be able to draft a quarterback this high? What were your thoughts back then?
Well, the hard part about it was there really was no other clear cut. You know what I'm saying? There was nobody that was truly challenging Burrow. If you really, I mean, go back and look at it. Did anybody ever say that this guy would challenge Burrow as the number one? And nobody did. And looking at what we had defensively, look at the personnel we had, you know, you felt like, let's build this section of the team. Let's build this section of the team here. And then find out if we have the guy. And I came in with a legitimate, you know, I got to take a look at Dwayne, the way he finished the season. I mean, I'm just being honest. That was my interpretation of what I did. Now, I admitted last year that I thought I made a mistake going forward by not really opening it up and making it a true competition. That was something that I had miscalculated. And hindsight is 20/20. But there really wasn't a guy that challenged Joe Burrow as the number one quarterback and said, hey, you guys got to look at me. You got to consider me.
Yeah, because the truth is, hindsight is 20/20, because most people were not talking Justin Herbert. Everybody was talking Tua as the next quarterback, and he was coming off a major injury out of college.
Yes, that hip was scary. And you know, it's crazy because anytime you see that, you know, I always, you know, I flash back to Bo Jackson and what happened to Bo's career. And so when people start saying, well, it's similar to Bo Jackson, I start to say, ooh, that's not a good thing to hear.
Right. We're talking to Ron Rivera, of course. All right. Raiders Sunday, before I ask you for the keys to a win in Vegas, are you in that mode of constantly looking at the standings, looking at your positioning, communicating it to your team, and potentially on Sunday scoreboard watching, or is it too early for that?
It's just too early for that, because the truth of the matter is, and I really do firmly believe this, we have to take care of our own business more so than anything else. So our focus should always stay on the game. I tell the players, you worry about what's important. Let me focus on what the interesting stuff is right now. And that's what I'm trying to do. Yeah, I may pay attention to what's happening within our division, but the honest truth is, if we take care of our business, put ourselves in this position, which I've said to you guys, if we put ourselves in position, these next five games, the five divisional games, those will be that will be the tell-all. So, again, let's take care of our business, and then let's put ourselves in position so that next Sunday is important. That's kind of my mentality. I'm trying not to put that out to the players. I'm trying to just tell the players, let's take care of business. Let's take care of business, and then we'll talk later.
I love the way you referred to it as a round robin the other day. Yeah. We, because, in part, we've never had this in scheduling before.
Yeah.
Where you've had five division games, and every other team in the division has at least four. So it is borderline round robin. All right, what are the keys to beating the Raiders?
Oh, more so than anything else, first and foremost, everything to me starts with Carr. We've got to get after him. He's a terrific football player, great arm, good decision maker, can make all the throws, obviously. But he is leading the league, I believe, in big throws, deep throws, taking shots. And we can't allow those shots to become big plays. You know what I'm saying? Explosives. We've got to keep that number down as low as possible. You know, if we give up two explosives, great, as long as they're not touchdowns. Also, we've got to make sure that we don't give up the big play over the top.
I mean, your offense, your defense has played obviously much better, but it certainly helps when you run 79 plays and keep the ball for nearly 42 minutes of a game, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, and that's the next key. We've got to be able to do that as well. We've got to be able to manage and set the tone and tempo of the game in terms of being able to run it efficiently at the point of attack. And then, you know, convert the third downs. And if we can keep ourselves in third and short to medium, we'll be really good.
I enjoy this every week. I appreciate it. Good luck in Vegas. Keep everybody in on curfew. I'm sure you won't have a problem. Cole Holcomb just told me, no, we're a mature team. We're not concerned about anything given the destination. But best of luck, and we'll chat next week.
Right on. Thanks, Kevin.
Ron Rivera, everybody. Brought to you by FH Fur Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Get comfort now, pay later with 60 months, same as cash, on a brand new HVAC system. Learn more at FHFur.com. That's FHFur, absolutely the best. He said something there about explosive plays that don't go for touchdowns. I want to touch on that, and I'll get to my keys to a win over the Raiders coming up next. Smell test before the end of the show and our predictions on Sunday's game as well. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We are also on the audio.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
Smell test coming up. God, there are a lot of NFL games that totally fit it. Not as many for tomorrow, but we will get to that. 2 weeks out of the last three winning weeks, so hopefully we can continue that trend. Brendan and I, and maybe we'll give you guys a chance also to weigh in on final score predictions with a footnote or two before the end of the show. But let me get to Washington beats the Raiders. You remember we started this a few weeks ago. Washington covers if following things happen because they were underdogs and big underdogs against Tampa and, you know, a couple of times before the break. But now it's Washington wins if. Let's get to that. Keys to the game. I wanted to mention something or follow up on something that Ron Rivera just said. He talked about the long explosive plays that the Raiders are capable of making. And he said, if we give them up, they can't go for touchdowns. You know, think about that as football fans. How many of those big plays, they're devastating plays in the moment. But how many times those big chunk plays that look like they could score and then somebody defensively makes a big tackle, you know, a game-saving tackle or a score-saving tackle that turns into a game-changing tackle? Because you can get a 65-yard pass and you chase the guy down and knock him out of bounds at the 8-yard line. Then on a condensed field in the red zone, it's hard to score touchdowns for some teams. Some teams, it's easier to get the big chunk play with a long field than it is to punch it in from 8 yards out. One of the more, when he said that, I was reminded of, remember the Code Red game in 2015, the Jay Gruden Code Red game against the Buccaneers, and they were down 24-0, and they came back and won the game 31-30. There's a massive play late in that game where Tampa gets a huge play. I think it was Doug Martin, the running back. And I'm pretty sure it was Bashaud Breeland who makes a touchdown-saving tackle at like the 2-yard line, something like that. And Tampa Bay was forced to kick a field goal, and it led to like a 6-point lead instead of a double-digit lead. Those are some of the biggest plays and kind of the hidden plays in determining the outcome of games. And when he said, we can't give up long explosive plays, but if we do, we can't let them go for touchdowns. That's huge. It's like, hey, you got beat over the top, but you got to make the tackle. You got to get Jackson, or you got to get Renfro, or you got to get, you know, Waller or Jacobs on a big run before he scores, because it's going to be hard for them to score once they get there. And it's a 4-point, sometimes, very often, it's a 4-point tackle that's made. Anyway, let me get to the keys to the game for me for a Washington win Sunday against the Raiders, where they are now just 1-point underdogs to the Raiders. Number one, Ron said this, and Ben said this, and this is obvious after the last three games. They beat the Raiders if they're able to continue with the formula that's been working. Move the football, control the football on offense, long clock-eating drives that result in a major disparity in play count and time of possession. They have run, on average, the last three games, 25 more plays offensively than their opponents. That's crazy. It was a 34-play disparity on Monday night. Their time of possession difference in these three wins, 39 minutes to 21 minutes. That's incredible. Right now, Washington is fifth in the league in average time of possession. But by the way, in the last three games, number one by a mile in time of possession in the last three weeks per Football Outsiders. They are also eighth in the league in yards per drive. These are all really good things, impressive numbers, numbers that should equate to more points. But that's been the problem. While they've clearly figured out how to make first downs and keep possession of the ball, they are, as we speak, 20th in the league in points per offensive drive. So 8th in yards per offensive drive, but 20th in points per offensive drive. That's the bad news. Now, there have been some situations like the Taylor Heinicke should have been touchdown where he conceded before the 1 yard line against Green Bay. Washington's had multiple blocked field goals. We know that, missed field goals, and then not being able to attempt a field goal the other night that would have led to more points and maybe a higher ranking in points per offensive drive. But that's where they are right now. The two options there of moving the football and not scoring enough, or not moving the football and not scoring enough, you're going to take the former. If you move the football the way they've been moving it, if you're, top 10 in the league consistently in yards per drive, and if you've got, nearly 2-to-1 time of possession advantages, you're going to be in a good position more often than not, and you're going to have the opportunity to score more points at the end of these drives than they have. So keep doing that, and it should pay off. Washington wins Sunday if they continue their recent trend of one-sided control of the football. Number two, Washington wins Sunday if they protect Taylor Heinicke, which, by the way, would go to controlling the football. But, part of that will mean, trying to stay balanced, running the football as they have successfully, which, by the way, Dallas and Kansas City in the last two games against the Raiders, neither one of those teams ran the ball very effectively at all against the Raiders. They didn't try that much. They're both pass-first teams. But Kansas City, even with a blowout win, didn't run the ball very much against the Raiders. Now, the previous opponents, their two previous opponents, Cincinnati and the Giants, did run the football very effectively against the Raiders. Mixon had a big day. Devontae Booker for the Giants had a big day against the Raiders. So running the football will help them protect Taylor Heinicke. But protecting Taylor Heinicke in this game leads to two big matchups in this game. Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue, okay, the Ngakoue that, was terrific with multiple teams, Jacksonville, and then got traded around, Baltimore, Minnesota, etc., the ex-Terp, is all of a sudden reemerging as a legit lethal pass rusher. Ngakoue's got 6 sacks in the last 4 games, 8 sacks in the last 6 games. He's opposite Max Crosby, who's been one of the best pass rushers in the league in terms of pressure rate. So they have gotten pressure from the edges. So big matchup Sunday for Lucas in for Cosme and Leno Jr. as well. And look, these guys have done a phenomenal job. The offensive line's done a phenomenal job all year long. But I think it'll be interesting to watch how Scott Turner schemes around these two edge rushers. Who will they double? Who will they chip? Who will they give help to more, Leno or Lucas? Will he use more screens, quick game, and perhaps less drop back? If they're running the football, obviously play action. We've seen him boot much more in the last 3 weeks than they did in the first 8 games. It's going to be interesting to see the game plan. I think Scott Turner's been pretty good at figuring out how to attack. The matchups against Crosby and Ngakoue are big in this game. By the way, Taylor has been well protected. However, he's taken some sacks during the course of the year when he's held on to the ball too long. He's 11th in the league in sacks taken. And even during this win streak, he has still been sacked 9 times, although just once on Monday night. Protecting Taylor Heinicke from their two edge pass rushers, big on Sunday. Number three, Ron said this, you got to get pressure on Derek Carr. And I think they can get pressure on Derek Carr. It'll be interesting to see if Del Rio dials up more extra man pressures. It'll also be interesting to see how much five-man front they play, because Jacobs is obviously a threat as a runner as well. But that five-man front dictates throws, but it also dictates or results in an extra man pressure every time they're in it. They've got to get pressure on Carr. Carr's been sacked a ton this year. All right, he's eighth in the league in sacks taken this year. You got to get to him. You probably have to get to him with extra man pressures, because if he sits back there and he's got a chance to take those deep shots, especially if Jackson's healthy, because he's been a major threat here in the two games that he's played, even the Kansas City game. He caught a big one early and then fumbled, but he had the big 76-yarder against the Cowboys. 3 catches, 105 yards, and a touchdown against Dallas. Get pressure on Carr Sunday, and Washington's got a really good chance of winning this game. You know, penalties could play a big part in this game. The Raiders are second in the league in most penalties. They're the second most penalized team in the league. They trail only the Cowboys, and the Cowboys have played one more game after last night. Those numbers are updated. I think the Cowboys are like 7 penalties overall ahead of the Raiders. So the Raiders are the second most penalized team in the league. Washington, meantime, has committed the 7th fewest penalties in the league. These hidden yardage numbers are big when you're talking about a game that you think is going to be decided, you know, by a field goal or by one score or less. And certainly the point spread would indicate that. You know, Washington's also been penalized the 3rd fewest number of times in their road games. They've been pretty disciplined all year long and very disciplined on the road, although 2 weeks ago against the Panthers was their most penalized road game of the year. Another potential factor in this game, kickoff returns. The Raiders gave up a big return in their Thanksgiving Day game against the Cowboys. Tony Pollard had a 100-yard kickoff return. You know, DeAndre Carter's 3rd in the league in kickoff returns. He took a big shot, though, and muffed a punt, remember, too, the other night. And also, I think it was against Carolina, had the fumbled kickoff return. You know, these special teams plays, as good as Carter's been and as much of a threat as he's been, in the last 2 games, he muffed a punt, which Washington recovered, and he fumbled a kickoff against Carolina that turned out to be one of the biggest plays in the game. They were down 14-7 in the 2nd quarter, and they came up with the ball. I think it was Troy Apke came up with it, and Washington kept possession. They went down the field. They tied the game going into halftime, 14-14, instead of potentially being down 2 scores if they had given the ball up. Carter's got to protect the ball, and on kickoff returns, and hopefully there aren't too many opportunities for kickoff returns, he may have an opportunity against the Raiders' kick coverage team. Those are a few of the things that I think will be important on Sunday in the game against the Raiders. Feeling good. Feeling kind of good about their chance Sunday. We both kind of felt like the Carolina game was a game, the Seattle game, excuse me, on Monday night was a game they could win. I don't have the same feeling because I don't think the Raiders are as bad as Seattle is. And the Seattle conversation was more about, is Seattle going to come in desperate or are they going to come in done? I actually think they played pretty desperately and played pretty hard. They were flying around early, but they just weren't good enough. The Raiders are good enough, but I still kind of like Washington's chances Sunday to get that win. I think on Monday night or on Monday's show, Brendan, we talked about, like, I think I said to you, the thing that would surprise me the most is if Washington gets blown out. Like, I could see them losing a close game, winning a close game, or winning by a comfortable margin. And I think you and I both picked them by a comfortable margin over Seattle. It should have been a comfortable margin. I think I'm getting to the point where I think I would be surprised if Washington gets blown out the rest of the way. I don't know. Maybe at Dallas. I don't know. I don't think this is a game in which they get blown out. But I also would be surprised if they completely handled the Raiders like the Bengals did or the Chiefs did in the Raiders' last two home games. The Raiders in their last two home games before their road win on Thanksgiving Day got outscored by the Chiefs and the Bengals 73-27. They were dominated by both of those opponents. But I think we would all agree, as optimistic about how well they've been playing we might be, Washington's not Kansas City or Cincinnati. Cincinnati. All right, smell test when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also on the Odyssey app.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Can you smell it?
It's time for the smell test.
Do you smell something?
We look where John Q. Public is putting their cash.
Trust me, you just gotta get past the smell.
And go the other way.
Can you feel it? Can you smell it?
Kevin's smell test on the Team 980.
I use this analogy all the time. It's painful if you're a blackjack player, but you have to hit 16 against a 7, 8, 9, or 10, period. You just have to hit it. It's called basic blackjack strategy. And it's hard, but it's the system. And you play basic blackjack strategy, and you use those double down opportunities, and you know, you narrow the edge that the house has. It's the narrowest margin in a casino if you play basic blackjack strategy. Well, the basic smell test strategy is to find the games where the public's lined up on one side. Also, get information about where sharp money is, and if it fits the strategy, you just got to play it. It doesn't matter how many games are out there. I got to play them all. And the NFL board this week is just littered with smell test theory picks. I'll get to the NFL card in a moment. Let me start with Saturday, Championship Saturday. I don't know why Cincinnati is a 10.5 point favorite against a Houston team that hasn't lost since August. That's a big number that Cincinnati's favored by. And the 10.5 and it not being 10, and it's sitting at 10.5 all week, has the public lined up on Houston this week. It's like, hey, you know, Cincinnati can win 38-28 and we win. I'll take Cincinnati and lay the 10.5. Now, I will buy the half point and lay the 10. That's a key number. I'll buy the half point and lay the 10. But for the smell test purposes, I'm going to lay the 10.5. Be honest with you, Michigan shouldn't be an 11-point favorite over Iowa. That number should be closer to 7, 7.5. And they're 11 right now. They're an 11-point underdog. So the public is playing the dog in this one. And there is sharp money on Michigan this week. I'll take the Wolverines and lay the 11. Now, the Georgia-Bama game, I'm just staying off it. I'm going to, in terms of the smell test, but I'm telling you right now, I am going to play Alabama because the world is on Georgia. There is also sharp money on Georgia as well. But every bookmaker in America, Brendan, will need Alabama. How many times have they ever said that? They always need whoever's playing Alabama. On Saturday, they're actually going to need Alabama to cover the 6. I'm not giving it out, though. There is major sharp money on Georgia in this game. Let's go to the NFL. It's crazy how many games fit the smell test criteria. We'll start with the Giants. The Giants got the win last week. I gave them out as a smell test pick against the Eagles, getting 3.5. They won the game outright. Here's Miami. They've been rolling. They've won 4 in a row. They're laying 4 at home Sunday at 1 against the Giants coming in. The public all of a sudden thinks the Dolphins are nasty on defense, which they are. Tua's been playing better. This is one of the biggest public bet games of the day, which is surprising, the Dolphins. I'll take the Giants plus the 4. I've been right on the Vikings, I think, 5 times this year, and it's all been having the Vikings. This week, they're the wrong side. Give me the Lions. It's now 7.5. I'll take the Lions plus 7.5 at home against Minnesota. The Bears are getting 7.5 at home against the Cardinals, and the Jets are getting 7 at home against Philadelphia. Let me just tell you, I like both of those games. Those are not smell test picks, but boy, they were close to smell test picks. But I got some data literally two commercial breaks ago that said there's sharp money on Arizona and sharp money on Philadelphia. So I've canceled them from the smell test. Let me give you the games that are on it in addition to the Giants and the Lions. The Chargers are getting 3 at Cincinnati. Cincinnati looking really good last week. The Chargers not so much. Give me the Chargers plus the 3. Washington at the Raiders. Washington is a smell test pick plus the 1. The public all over Vegas and a lot of sharp money right now on Washington. Remember, you know, last week was one of the first weeks without a lot of big favorites. Well, this week, there are a lot of big favorites. One of the biggest lines of the week, the Rams laying 13 to Jacksonville. Nobody's on Jacksonville. Everybody's on the Rams. I expect the Rams to turn it around at some point. But give me Jacksonville on just pure smell test theory, contrarian handicapping principle. The Jags plus 13. It's not over yet, Brendan. Pittsburgh is a major anti-public favorite at home, underdog at home against Baltimore. The Steelers have looked awful, and yet they're only catching 4.5 to the Ravens. I'll take the Steelers plus the 4.5. Seattle was just here on Monday night. How bad did they look? They looked horrible. How are they only getting 3 at home against the hottest team in the NFC, the 49ers? Give me the Seahawks plus the 3. That one may be the most painful of the day. I like Houston a little bit. I like the Jets a little bit. I like the Bears a little bit, but they did not qualify for the smell test. I don't even know what I just gave out. I'll recap real quickly. You can count them up. On Saturday, tomorrow, I like Cincinnati minus 10.5, Michigan minus 11. I hate playing favorites, but they are anti-public favorites. On Sunday, the Giants plus 4, the Lions plus 7.5, the Chargers plus 3, Washington plus 1, Seattle plus 3, Pittsburgh plus 4.5, and Jacksonville plus 13. There are your smell test picks. That's the most NFL picks I think I've had on any Sunday this year. What is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 NFL games, and it was almost 9. By the way, I like Kansas City a little bit too. They're laying a big number against Denver, but they're sharp money on Denver. All the public money's on Denver. It's odd. You know, the public all of a sudden with some of these big favorites have gotten off them, although the Rams are an example where they are still on the big public favorite. Last week, I don't think we had one double-digit favorite. This week, we've got Tampa, Indy, and the Rams, and the Chiefs may make it to 10 as well. And the Buccaneers are 11-point favorites. Okay, predictions on the game Sunday. Brendan, go ahead. Give me yours.
So we were talking before this segment about how we would be surprised if Washington got blown out. And I think with injuries on both sides, I'd be surprised if Washington blew the Raiders out. I kind of think the Raiders are more of the team that got blown out a couple weeks ago than the team that beat up a injured Cowboys team on Thanksgiving. So I'm going to go with a Washington win, something like 24-21, 24-20. Let's go with 24-20. Carlson's a good kicker. He can make 2 field goals.
We didn't even mention Brian Johnson, the kicker out of Gonzaga, who will be kicking for Washington on Sunday. And you heard Ron describe, you know, doesn't have necessarily the explosive leg that Joey Sly has. Not many kickers do. I like Washington Sunday. I like him in a close game, 27-26. I think it's going to be a thrilling game. I think it's going to be a back and forth game. I think number 4 is going to make some plays. He might make a couple of bad ones, but he's going to make enough good ones to keep him in the hunt. And I like Washington winning 27-26, a late touchdown pass from Heinicke to Logan Thomas, down 26-21. They go for 2, they miss, and somehow they don't allow a field goal on the other end. 27-26 Washington over the Raiders, which would set up a massive, really and truly, I was thinking about this, maybe the biggest home game. Look, they played a playoff game last year, so not in front of a crowd, but they had a home playoff game. So excluding the Tampa home playoff game, which was played in front of nobody, I can't remember, really. I mean, if you go back to 2016 when they were in the playoff race, they played a lot of road games down the stretch. You know, they had the Giant game that they lost on New Year's Day, but that wasn't a heavyweight matchup between both teams. The Giants had already qualified for the postseason. This would be one of the biggest games they've played in the regular season in years. You know, I go back to that Dallas Thanksgiving Day game in 2016, where Washington had just destroyed Green Bay, and the Cowboys, I think, were 9-1, and Washington was 6-3-1. And that was one of the biggest matchups the two teams have had in a long, long time in the regular season. They've got two games over, you know, a couple of weeks period. And the game next week at home, if Washington can get a win over the Raiders to go to 6-6, would truly be one of the biggest matchups late season at home Washington's had in a long, long time. Long time. Remember last year, you know, we're talking about losing record teams trying to win a division with a losing record. And they weren't playing division opponents late in the year last year at home. Remember, they played Seattle and Carolina. This is different. It's December. You get a win over the Raiders, and they will definitely have the largest crowd they've had out there all year long, which they're going to have anyway because of the Dallas fans that have bought up the tickets for the game. But what an atmosphere you could have at FedEx next Sunday if Washington beats the Raiders. You might have it anyway. And look, if Washington doesn't win the game, it's not over. Like, they're not out of it. The way things stacked, I mean, New Orleans losing last night was a good thing for Washington. You know, it's another team now with 7 losses. It increases the possibility of an 8-9 making it in as a 7 seed. I think they got to go 4-2 down the stretch, and I think they start that with a win on Sunday, a close win. Back on Monday to recap the whole football weekend and, of course, the Washington Raiders game. Stay tuned. Travis is up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.